Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you on this nice, brisk winter morning. Glad you're able to make it out today. We're continuing our sermon series. We're going through a series of messages. It's the third week of our series talking about Begin Again, and we're talking about rededication, starting over, and this is the third week of the series. Next week, I'm going to be speaking, sort of giving what we call occasionally a state of the church, just talking about where the leaders believe our church is, what we see coming up for the next year for Richwoods as a congregation. And then we're going to begin a new series on prayer beginning the last week in January that we're excited about, that's going to go for several weeks. But for today, as we come to the end of our sermon series on Begin Again, yesterday I had a family wedding that I had to travel to out of the area. Our family went and we got back late last night, so I wasn't able to speak on Saturday. And so we asked a friend of mine to speak this weekend. His name is Martin Johnson. Pastor Johnson ministers at New Beginnings Church here in Peoria. They're in the north part of Peoria down at the Kingman School Building. And Pastor Johnson and his lovely wife, Lisa, they have three kids. They actually, when we moved to Peoria 18 years ago, we lived on the same street about, I'd say five, six houses apart. And then a couple years after we moved there and we met them and sort of cordial, and they moved to a new neighborhood, and then we followed them to the exact same neighborhood. And so we're some of my neighbors were a cul-de-sac away, but we're in the same area. Pastor Johnson is doing a great job at his church. He's a very good communicator. He retired after 29 years of being in the Air Force as a major sergeant. Is that right? Master sergeant, one of those. I'm not a military guy, but he's got creed. I mean, he can tell people what to do, right? Master sergeant, you can boss people around, all right? So, but anyway, after 19 years, he retired from the Air Force. Would you give a warm welcome to my friend, Martin Johnson?
Thank you, Pastor Jim. Well, good morning, Richwoods. And I'm going to ask you to put those same hands together and give God some praise. Amen. We bless God, and we're grateful and we're thankful and appreciative to be here with you this morning. We thank God for your pastor, a visionary, and a good friend of ours. And we just thank and we praise God for the connection of your pastor. We're affiliated through Network 95, one of the churches that he's helping us plow forward and have a greater impact in the kingdom of God. And I can't say it enough that we're appreciative. Our ministry is appreciative, and we're appreciative of you, Richwoods, and how you lend your pastor to the body of Christ at large to have a greater impact. So I want to thank you for allowing your pastor to be shared with the body of Christ and have a great impact in the kingdom of God. So thank you for that. I also want to honor and thank God for my wife and my family that is here with me on this morning, my wife of 30 years this year. Happily married. She serves alongside me in ministry also, and I was sharing with the 9 o'clock service, and that yesterday some of the women in the kitchen, they had looked and said, you know, Pastor, how long have you guys been married? And I said, well, I said, this year will be 30 years. And they said, 30 years? And I said, yeah. I said, that's right. We got married when we were 10 years old. So I said, don't check the marriage license, but I thank God for her. She serves faithfully with me, and just glad to be here today. I know just sort of getting the preliminaries and the introduction of who I am. Some of you have seen me for the very first time. So I want to let you know that I normally preach for an hour. I got one amen over there. However, today, I will condense it to the time frame that I've been given, and the last two services, we have been successful, so we're going to attempt to stay in the pattern of being successful, but nevertheless, we certainly do believe that God has a word, nevertheless, that's going to have an impact in your life, and we're excited to be able to minister in that capacity. So as the clock is moving, so am I. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Verses 18 through 25 is where the word of the Lord comes to us on this morning. And the word of the Lord declares, "So Gad came to David that day and said to him, 'Go up, erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite.' David went up according to the word of Gad, just as the Lord had commanded. Araunah looked down and saw the king and his servants crossing over towards him. And Araunah went out and bowed his face to the ground before the king. Then Araunah said, "Why has my lord the king come to a servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be held back from the people." Araunah said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what is good in his sight. Look, the oxen for the burnt offering, the threshing sledges and the yokes of the oxen for the wood, everything, O king, Araunah gives to the king." And Araunah said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." However, the king said to Araunah, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which costs me nothing." So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Thus the Lord was moved by prayer for the land, and the plague was held back from Israel, and the whole house said, Amen. I want to use very briefly for the thought today's message, my sacrifice to God. In this season of rededication and renewal and recommitment and starting over and beginning our lives again in Christ Jesus, the life of David is one of the most intriguing and interesting stories in all of the Bible. It is, in my opinion, 2 Samuel chapter 24 is one of the most prophetic and pragmatic words to give to God's people as we begin to launch into this new season. Many of you under the sound of my voice, as the new year brings in a season of freshness and a recommitment and rededicating of our lives, and we make vows to God and we say we want to do better this year. As we look back over the previous year, 2015, if truth be told, many of us, we started 2015 at this particular time, about the third week, and we were on fire for God. And we said, "God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to sell out. I'm going to do everything that you've called me to do." And then in the reality of time, we found out around March, late February, some of those things that we promised that we were going to do and walk with God, we find ourselves that we have sort of disengaged. So I want to share with you from the Word of God as we move forward in this year and begin again, that God's given us another opportunity to start all over again and to do what we've committed in God. What happens in 2 Samuel 24, I understand it may be unfamiliar to some of you because you haven't done the study like maybe I've done the study in preparation to be able to speak to you today. So I want to just give you some context of the text so you can really appreciate and understand the content of the message of the word that God has for you today, because it is in this chapter, in 2 Samuel chapter 24, that what we find out here is that King David, he is moved and he is motivated to take a census of the people. And he wants to take account of all the people in the land of Israel and Judah and to find out who's all on his side and really what he's obtained over the years in just walking with God. And the reality is as we look throughout our lives and we see all of the possessions that we have gained throughout the years, and sometimes we can look at our possessions and say we're successful, that we have arrived and that we can do what we need to do based off of the material things that we have. And David here, what he does is David begins to take a census. He takes an inventory of everything that he has. And some of you probably say, well, that's not a bad thing to take an inventory of what you have and what you possess. But it is here that when David, he hears the report of the census, when that comes back, David is grieved because he realized that he has sinned and taken a census without God's direction. It wasn't all that the census was bad, but he took the census without God's direction. And anytime you do something and you know God has commanded you and instructed you not to do it, I don't care how bad or how simple it may look, it's a bad thing. And here it is in the text that David, when he's grieved in his heart and he finds that he's taken the census without God's direction, the people of God, now they suffer a plague all because of King David's disobedience. And in counting the people, what David does is he shows the desire to count on the blessings of God rather than putting all of his confidence in the one who has blessed him with the blessings. And it's so important to know that even as we begin to look in this year as what God is going to do, and we begin to sort of look at what we have to never forget that it was God who blessed us with everything that we have. And the census, it revealed that David did not fully trust in the Lord. And as a result of his disobedience, what happens is God sends the prophet Gad and he tells David, God is going to let you choose your punishment and you have three choices. Isn't it amazing about God that sometimes God does some things and he gives us multiple choice? I don't know about you, but there's sometimes I just want God to speak one way. God either yay or nay, but God will allow us to have multiple choices because he wants us to see really what's in our heart. And God gives David three choices, and he says, so the three things are going to happen because as a result of your disobedience, because there's consequences whenever we walk out of fellowship or we sin against God. And God begins to speak to the prophet Gad, and he says, either there's going to be 7 years of famine, either you're going to have 3 months of your enemies ruling over you, or there's going to be 3 days of a plague, a pestilence among the people. And what's interesting is because when I look at David's response, you see the wisdom of David even in the midst of him messing up, because David says, Lord, I surrender to you whatever I have, because whatever you decide to do, God, he says, I know that I'm in your hands. And he says, when I'm in your hands, I know with you that your mercy endures forever. He says, so I don't want to choose. He says, I want your will to be done in my life. Whatever it is that you want to do, God, he says, I'll do it. And then God tells the prophet Gad, he says, now go tell David, build me an altar and worship at the place where the plague stops. And the place where the plague stops is at the property of the one by the name of Araunah the Jebusite. And the wrath of God is kindled against David because God wants David to know that, David, you didn't make it this far by what you physically possess. You need to know early on as you're moving into 2016, you don't have what you have because of yourself. It's nothing but the goodness of God. And the only reason that David has come to this particular moment in time and has everything that he has is because God is on his side. And if you have God on your side, you have everything you need in life to be victorious. I know many times we say we want to have a whole lot of money in the bank. We want to have this, and that's fine in certain stages and certain thoughts and so forth. But the reality is if you have Christ Jesus, you have everything you need. And here what we find in the text here is that God is saying in so many words as he reprimands King David, how dare you put your trust in people? How dare you put your trust in resources? How dare you put your trust in your position, your statuses, and your titles when you know that I've made who you are? And David, you know, we find out David now, he's putting his confidence in everything else around him instead of trusting God. And it's in life's journey that David's priorities in life are now mixed up. And in life, just like David's, in our lives, we find out that we desire to do the things that God has called us to do, but life has a way of pulling on us and pulling us the way our priorities in life shift. And then those things that we promised God that we would do, we find ourselves walking away from what we told God we would do. All because the reality is the priorities in life have shifted. And now because we are not doing the things that God has called us to, sometimes we walk away and we wind up sinning against God because now we feel that now God has blessed us, God's hand is on us, we have the favor of God, everything that we put our hand to, it turns to gold. People are singing our praises. They're saying, we could never do what we've done without you, and you're feeling good about yourself. And then what normally happens, and if you truth be told, and if you're honest today, when people begin to sing your praises and tell you how good you are, we have a tendency to... Is anybody going to be honest this morning? I'm the only one? And so what happens, David finds himself, he still loves God, but God has been blessing him so that sometimes it's easy to walk away from that connection that God brings us. Because David is an individual. If you read the life of David, David begins to communicate with God. And he's saying, God, should I pursue? Should I stay? God, what is it you want me to do? But sometimes in the vicissitudes and just the cares of this world, we can soon sort of remove ourselves from that genuine relationship with God. And here it is, David. When you look at David, the importance and the significance of David, because David is the one who was handpicked by God. David is the one, he has a heart for God. David is the one, he is the anointed of God. David is the appointed of God. He is the king of all Israel. God's hand is on his life. He has favor. He's the one whose life is full of purpose and promise. And God has spoke to him and spoke purpose in his life and brought him from nobody knowing his name to where now that everybody knows your name. Have you ever been in situations as you're moving through life and trying to fulfill purpose, nobody knows your name? But then once you yield to the will of God and begin to walk with God, now when you walk into a place, people see there's something different about you because you know how to shake it up. You're a game changer because of the purpose that God has put within you, and now you're walking in God's purpose. And now the people who never knew you now know you when you come into a room, all because of the purpose that God has placed on the inside of you. And David gets to a point, like many of us get to a point, when God blesses us and he brings us to high places and he promotes us and he does great things and everybody is singing our praise. We think that we finally have life figured out. I have arrived. It's like, this is what I've been dreaming of. I'm right here at the pinnacle of my career. Everybody knows who I am. I'm walking in purpose and I finally figured this thing out. And with all that going for himself, King David disobeys God. And God's wrath is kindled against the man after God's own heart. What do you do when you love God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul? And then you mess up in life. I'm glad you asked that question. And with all that going for himself, he messes up. How many times when you look back over 2015 and you are thanking God for everything that he's shown you, what he's going to do in your life, and you commit it that you were going to walk with him, and then because the priorities of life shifted, and it wasn't that you didn't love God, it was just now your focus was thrown off, and now you find yourself doing something that goes against God. I can imagine people, just like there are people now, that say, David, you done it now. You done messed up now. You done messed up big time. You're about to lose everything you had. Your name is about to go down now. You're about to lose everything, and it's your fault. Can you imagine the pressure that's on King David? Can I share with you? When you mess up, it's a bad thing when we mess up. But you know what really hurts us? When your heart is pure with God, when we mess up and we know that others' lives are affected because of our mess up. The pressure. It's like, Lord, you could just take me out. I messed up, take me out. But when you know other people's lives are affected because of something you've done, the pressure, the weight, the guilt. And as we talk about in this series, beginning again, and as you look back over last year and you see all the vows that you made to God, and then you see, Lord, I missed it. I came up short. And it wasn't about just me, but because of my mess up, it's affected my family. It's affected the church. It's affected the community. The weight. Some people will say, give up, forget it. You messed up, it's over. But this is what I love about 2 Samuel chapter 24. It's a text that says you can start all over again. You can begin again. It's pragmatic, but yet prophetic, because it lets us know that God knows the thoughts, the plans that he thinks towards us, thoughts of peace and not of evil, but to bring us to an expected and to complete the good work that he's already started, because this is where the whole story turns in verse 10. In my church, I tell everybody, we do a lot of bumping. We say amen. We say talk to your neighbor. We've already got the welcome through. You've already smiled at one another, but this is a point right now where you're supposed to bump your neighbor. And I'm going to teach you, when you bump your neighbor, you don't do this. But you just kindly bump your neighbor to let them know something's about to shift. So now's your opportunity. Bump your neighbor. Something's about to shift. Because now I've just given you the introduction so you can understand the context. So now you can appreciate the content of where we're at here in the story. Because in verse 10, this is where the story begins to turn as we're looking at this season of rededication and renewing our commitment to God as we look back over all the vows we told God in 2015, and we were not faithful in that. And now God's given us another opportunity this year to build your hope, to let you know that you can begin again. Because David here in verse 10, David's heart is troubled after he numbers the people. And David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have acted very foolishly. What the text gives us to understand, David begins to teach us how to be able to turn back to God and begin again by, first of all, acknowledging our sin. And then asking for God's forgiveness. Why? So that you can continue to complete the purpose that God has spoken over your life. When genuine repentance takes place, what happens is you see the mercy of God extended in place of the wrath of God. That's good news. When we repent of our sins, of our shortcomings of God, and say, Lord, have mercy, I did it, I own up to my sins, my transgressions. The good thing is that because of your sins and your transgressions, you deserve punishment, judgment. But yet, what happens when you begin to repent within the heart, because that's where it all begins. If you're going to begin again and start again, it starts in the heart. And David shows us in the text, he repents in the heart. And then when the text says that the anger of God is kindled against him, when he begins to repent in his heart, he now experiences the mercies of God that are renewed every morning. So the good news is you're not operating off of yesterday's mercies. God knew exactly what you needed today, so he's giving you fresh mercies. And here what it teaches us is David's messed up royally. But when he repents in his heart, what happens is in verse 11, we see God speaking to him. The good news is we can mess up, but when we genuinely repent in our hearts, God hears our prayers. Then he answers the prayers, because he raised up Gad, who was a prophet, a man of God. Just like many of you under the sound of my voice, there's no one in this room that's perfect. I knew that just blew many of you away, because you thought you were all that in a bag of chips. But even here, even now, even as a pastor, I realize even with all this anointing that's on my life, the call of God that God has called me to, the purpose that he's placed within my life, I'm just like the Apostle Paul. I realize in my flesh dwells no good thing. But it's so important to know that when we mess up, we can go back to a God and ask for forgiveness, and know that he hears us and he forgives us. Because here what happens is David deserves the wrath of God. The text says God is angry. He's not angry. He doesn't hate us. He hates the sin that we commit. But because God's message of love is a message of reconciliation, what he does, even when David's messed up, God sends a word to him. Why did you say all that, Pastor Marty? It's because every Sunday that you come here, throughout the week, when we examine our lives and see, sometimes we don't hit it. Sometimes we miss the mark. And sometimes the enemy can say, that's it, throw in the towel, give up, quit. Here we go again. You've tried this before. You said you were going to do this, and you still didn't do it. But his mercies are renewed every morning. And God will raise up Pastor Jim, Pastor Chris, myself, and many other men and women of God to be able to speak to your hearts and to let you know God has not forgotten about you, but that he has heard your prayer. And what happens here in the text is that God speaks to the prophet Gad, and he says, go tell David, build me an altar on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David goes to Arunah, and it's not ordinary, just to understand, it's not ordinary or commonplace for a king to come to your house. He's a king. He has all power and authority. According to the custom of the land, you go see the king once he bids for you. But it shows us a picture of genuine repentance in his heart. That when God speaks to David, who is high and lifted up, and there's genuine repentance, he is now humbled the way now he's saying, Lord, speak back to my heart. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. And he leaves his position. He leaves all of that. And he goes down to the house of Arunah, the place where the plague stopped. And he begins to ask Arunah, he says, I'm here to buy the land. And then Arunah does what each and every one of us in here want. A hookup. Because Arunah says, I'll give you everything you need. You don't have to pay anything. But then what's so important is that King David says, no. He says, I will not offer that to the Lord, that which costs me nothing. In this third week in January 2016, as you are beginning again in your walk with God, the question that God is asking us, what's our sacrifice? What is it that we're presenting to God? When you look at the text, it's interesting to see because what happens here is in this time of rededication, God asks him, he said, I want you to build me an altar. And he offers a burnt offering. A burnt offering, the significance of a burnt offering is twofold. It's one to acknowledge your sin. But then secondly, it's a request that God, I want you to restore our relationship. For those of you who are married, you can pretty much relate to this. Every now and then, hopefully not too often, you have a disagreement. One offends the other. In our ministry, I tell the married couples, people who love God, husband and wives who love God, you don't have arguments. You have heated fellowships. And it's at those moments, sometimes the party is trying to reconcile, but you're sort of like, nope, I don't want to hear it. Talk to the hand. You'll hurt me. That's it. Nope. I need my space. I need my time. But what we see here in the text is God's rich mercy for us. And that David is the one who has broken the relationship and communication. Because before, he would always talk to God before he did something. But now he has done something that he didn't think was significant, and he's realized, I have just sinned against God. I have not been talking to God. Had I been in relationship and communication with God, he would have directed me and instructed my steps and said, no, don't do it. But yet, he messes up. And because he repents within his heart, God begins to open up the communication line and speaks to him again by sending the prophet Gad. And then he says, build me an altar at the place where it stopped, where the plague stopped. Can I challenge you in this season of rededication as I'm looking at my time and challenged in my time, but really want to share with you as you're moving forward and beginning again, and what is it, God, that you need me to do? God, I want to reconnect. I want to do what you've called me to do. Can I challenge you quickly as David challenges us in the text with his whole being by giving God everything when he says, I'm not going to offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. He says, that's your sacrifice, Aruna, but this is my personal devotion to God. So I have to show God that I'm going to give him everything that he's blessed me with. I'm going to give it back to him to let him know I want his relationship. Can I challenge you? Four things quickly. First of all, we have to do better in our time, just like me. We have to do better in the time that we give God. The most valuable possession in life is not what you possess. It's not what you drive. It's not where you stay. It's not your connections. But your most valuable possession that God gives us is time. And if time is the most valuable gift that God gives us, it should be the most precious gift that we give back to God. And in that, can I challenge you at the start of your day to give God the first 20 minutes of your day, whether that be through prayer, meditation, devotion, and just say, God, I want to reconnect. I want to start all over again. I want to renew the relationship. I told the last service, I said, we have to disconnect for a moment from social media, and I had to hide behind this. Disconnect from Facebook just for a minute and get in the face of God and allow him to speak to our hearts. Imagine the difference that he'll make. The second thing that I want to challenge you in that we have to do better is the treasure that we give God, our giving. And our giving, it's saying, God, I trust you. I'm grateful for all the things that you'll bless me with, and you'll bless me to be a blessing to others. So God, I trust you, and you know you can trust me. So when God knows that you can be trusted, then the blessings of God flows through you, and your cup never runs over. And here it is, the third thing is the talent that you use for God. The talents and the abilities that God gives us. Many of you, God has gifted with many abilities to be used in the service of the Lord and having an impact in the kingdom of God. Thank God I don't have the talent to sing. So you all should be thankful for that. I was singing real low on the front row. But whatever it is, the talents and the gifts that God gives you, use it for God. Someone asked me last service and said, God is speaking so many things. And I told her, I said, all you need to do is just step in it, just a little bit. And when you begin to take one step, God begins to show more of what he wants you to do. And then before you realize it or not, it's like, wow, Lord, you've taken me from A, B, C, D, all because I decided to use the talents and the abilities that you've already given me for your glory. And now I'm walking in purpose. And the last thing, and I'll let you go, not only time, the treasure, and the talents, but last but not least, your testimony. And this one is simple because God has done too much for us to be quiet. He's answered too many prayers. He's done too many things for us not to tell somebody about what the Lord has done in our lives. One of the greatest gifts that you can leave in this life is the legacy of faith. That someone believed in Christ Jesus because of your life in Christ Jesus. Where David builds the altar on the threshing floor, it's eventually the same place, the same site where the temple will be rebuilt. What David did there, it paved the way for thousands to worship God. Richwood, you're not insignificant, but you're great in the eyes of God. And he's using you, you, you to start all over again, to have an impact that your children will know Christ. Your children's children will know Christ. The people around you, your community the folks you work with, all because you said, Lord, I want to reconnect and begin again. I can imagine David saying, when I look back over my life last year and I see all the mistakes I made, God, but then, God, I also see your mercy. And therefore, God, this year in 2016, I cannot offer you anything that does not cost me anything. This is my sacrifice to you. I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is your reasonable service. God bless you, Richwoods.